Gyanthimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuthapadakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padahan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyai Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna. I am very grateful to be back with you at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Today, could everyone hear? Radha Gopinath Temple is one reincarnation after another of sound systems. So we never know how they're working until they're here. Today, we are celebrating what has been called a festival of gratitude. Our beloved Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taught the principle Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Das Das Anudas. Our greatest aspiration is to aspire through our actions, our words, our thoughts, our very lives, to be a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis, Sri Krishna. Why is that, that we aspire to be servant of the servant? Simply because there's no greater way we can please Krishna than being in such an attitude. samsiddhir haritoshanam. The success and purpose of everything we do reaches its fulfillment when Krishna is pleased. Krishna is not pleased by the quantity of what we can achieve in life, but the sincerity of our devotion. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta priyachati. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, if one even offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a piece of fruit or water, I accept it. We have seen throughout history in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and other such great literatures, kings and queens who possess great wealth, power, influence, and simple people, sometimes physically crippled, sometimes living in the jungle with no education, how they have all achieved the ultimate perfection because of the sincerity of their intent and purpose in which they serve Krishna. The essence of bhakti, the essence of life, is to give pleasure to Krishna. Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Because Krishna is the proprietor of everything. There's really nothing we could give him because he's already the proprietor. Our abilities are given by Krishna. Our intelligence is given by Krishna. Whatever wealth or influence we have is given by Krishna. Our very bodies are Krishna's property. So what can we offer Krishna? But Krishna accepts our love. There's nothing else. Krishna is conquered by our love. The supreme conqueror of all conquerors, the cause of all causes, creator, maintainer, and destroyer of everything that exists within creation, is conquered by the simple love of his devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to love Krishna. Because love is not based on our conceptions, however intellectual we may be, however influential we may be. The expression of true love is to satisfy the object of love. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Radha Baba Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Who appears with the complexion of effulgent gold and with the Mahabhav, the love of Sri Radha. Sri Radha is Ashraya Vigraha, the supreme abode of all love. All love is coming from her. Krishna is the ultimate object of love, and Sri Radha is the ultimate abode of love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna, appearing in one form. To taste the sweetness of Radha's love, Krishna has come in this form. And also to teach the world by his example, by his words, by his associates, by his beautiful pastimes, how to actually love Krishna and please Krishna. Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. This is the method. It's not just a formality or a ritual. It's the highest state of consciousness because it's the state of consciousness wherein Krishna is most pleased. Mad bhakta puja abhyadika. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Vedic literature, I am more pleased when one worships my devotee than one worships me. How to offer our gratitude to Krishna, who's given us everything we have, everything we'll ever have, and everything we've ever had. By offering gratitude to his devotees. When Srila Prabhupada was in London in the early 1970s, he installed the deities of Radha Gokulananda at Bhaktivedanta Manor. The next day in his Vyas Puja, Srila Prabhupada's own birthday, Srila Prabhupada spent a good part of his lecture offering gratitude to his own students for everything that they had done to help him in the service of his Guru Maharaj. One of the foremost students of Srila Prabhupada, who literally gave his heart, his life, his soul, his everything to serve Prabhupada, who gave up so much of this world to live in such difficult circumstances, asking for nothing in return, was His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. Such an appropriate beginning to this festival of gratitude, where His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, through this film presentation, was speaking his heart, giving his honor and his respect and his deepest gratitude to His Grace Srinathji Prabhu. Giriraj Maharaj was right here in Mumbai, intimately at the side of Srila Prabhupada, from the very beginning, trying to serve Srila Prabhupada's apparently impossible mission. Giriraj Maharaj is now writing a book on the subject of how Sri Sri Radharas Bihari Temple came to be. The types of opposition, the types of challenges on so many levels were inconceivable. And today we heard from Giriraj Maharaj how one of the persons who was most instrumental through his incredible selfless spirit of service is Srinathji Prabhu. In truth, in our congregation of Radha Ras Bihari Temple, as well as especially here, Radha Gopinath Temple, whatever we have is so much based on the selfless service of Srinathji Prabhu. how much profoundly grateful we should be. This building itself, the manifestation of the deities, Radha Gopinath, Gornitai, Gopal. Each and every one of our projects, and that we all have each other, and the culture we've aspired to share with one another, the culture of devotion, is very much built on the foundation of Srinathji Prabhu's participation in our lives through his selfless service to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. Srinathji Prabhu had a very unique position, because in those days in the 1970s, when Krishna consciousness was spread in the West, there was really no one who had much money or influence at all who joined this movement. There were devotees like Giriraj Maharaj who had very wealthy families, but when they came to this movement, they came with nothing. So almost everyone who came to this movement, our beloved god brother Ambarish Prabhu, he had something. But practically everyone else, we had nothing. Not much education, no money, no property, not much social or political influence. But Srila Prabhupada did see that these young, what Prabhupada called boys and girls, they had enthusiasm to serve. They were willing to commit their lives. And Srila Prabhupada, from 1965, when he arrived in America, for a couple years he developed some simple temples in the West, mostly storefronts, little storefront in Lavoe, in the East Village of New York, Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco, an old bowling alley in Montreal, little storefront in Santa Fe. Somehow or other started something in London, little storefront in Germany. And then he brought these same devotees, just a handful, to India, where Srila Prabhupada wanted to build magnificent temples, which were inconceivable to these Western devotees. The whole concept of the Hare Krishna movement in those days was a storefront. That was like the prototype. If you want to start a temple, you find a storefront. Usually a storefront is just one small room. That's it. And you crowd it in with as many people as you can get, and you have kirtan, and you give some simple prasad, and that's Hare Krishna's movement. Srila Prabhupada had planned for the most glorious, largest temple in all of Mumbai, Vrindavan, Mayapur, Hyderabad, so many places. And these few devotees, they didn't know how to do that. In fact, in those days especially, the early 1970s, the way things were done in the West and the way things were done in India were like two different worlds. When I came to India in 1970, I didn't have to deal with that because I never did anything. I never had to accomplish anything. I just wandered around and did Madhukari. But Srila Prabhupada engaged these devotees in many challenges. And His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj is remembering, here comes Srinathji Prabhu. Perhaps the first person. He was from an extremely influential family. He had great wealth, PhD, learned scholar. Father was a member of parliament. And where devotees just didn't know how to do things, he was right there. Not only to give guidance, not only to give help, but to jump right into these challenges. And along with the simple devotees, he would do it himself. He was like a general. Yes, here at Radha Gopinath Temple, at times of inconceivable difficulties, which are, we don't have the time to explain today, he was right there to help in every way. Not only did he help with his influence, his social and political influence, with his wealth, with his intelligence, with his legal understandings of matters. Yes, he was one of the first, if not the first person, of such influence to actually give his life to help Srila Prabhupada in his mission. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes give an analogy that a preacher of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should have the courage of a British soldier and the heart of a Bengali mother. That really fits Srinathji Prabhu so perfectly. We were hearing from His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. Not only was Srinathji fighting like a general, fearlessly in the front lines against dangerous opposition, his life was in danger physically, socially. But he was truly kind. When His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was ill, he would personally nurse him to health, along with his beloved wife, Maithili Devi. He was so courageous, so creative. That was just impossible as a world's in it, you know, is a word in a fool's dictionary, was Prabhupada's words, and he lived that principle. His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj explained, when he was very sick at a hospital, they were treating him wrong. Srinathji Prabhu came right in. He knew almost everything about everything that we could imagine. He was humble but bold. He saw that Giriraj Maharaj was getting sicker and sicker, and yet they were treating him in certain ways. He saw it was the wrong ways. He knew enough about medicine. He was an electrical engineer. Because he got his PhD, it's called a doctoral degree, which means you're a doctor. So he came in and said, I am Dr. Desai. And I want you to give him this treatment and this treatment. He was telling the doctors what to do, telling the nurses what to do. He was organizing the diet coming from his own house that Maithili Priya Mataji would be cooking. And in this way, he saved Giriraj Maharaj's life. And I saw the same thing happen when His Holiness Jaipatak Swami Maharaj had that devastating stroke. He was sent from Radharas Bihari Temple to one of the hospitals, one of the prominent hospitals. And the devotees just didn't know what to do because he was in a completely unconscious state. Nobody knew, it seemed almost impossible that he would even live. So I was there at the hospital. And I didn't know what to do. And nobody knew if the doctors really knew what to do. The nurses weren't really sure what to do. So it was early in the morning, and I called Srinathji Prabhu. And I said, please, I told him what happened. Please come. Within minutes, Srinathji Prabhu was there. I am Dr. Desai. And His Holiness Jaipatak Maharaj is in intensive care and nobody's allowed in there. And Srinathji Prabhu said, I am Dr. Desai. I am going in. I am his doctor. So much conviction. He went right in, started finding out what's wrong, starting telling. He was telling the doctors and nurses what they have to do. He got incredible specialists. He was calling all different parts of the world to get information. It was his compassion, his care, his love. And he consistently was there, helping to oversee that treatment. I remember His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj, when his sister was here, he became quite ill, and Srinathji Prabhu and Maithili Devi, they just said, you stay at our house, we will nurse you to health. And how many devotees he did this for? I know so many times for me, I'd be ill, he'd come, he'd bring medicines, he'd bring diets, he'd bring me to his house in Karla to recuperate. To each and every one of the brahmacharis, he was such a caring, loving friend, like an equal. His boldness, his courage, and yet his very deep, profound, compassionate, simple, loving heart is who Srinathji Prabhu was. Srinathji Prabhu was born on May 22nd, 1940. That was the time when the British were still in control of India. The time when Srila Prabhupada was just beginning his Back to Godhead magazine. During World War II, the bombing of the Japanese, all the catastrophes of nations killing millions and millions of people all directions. Very difficult times. Srinathji Prabhu. He told us that his father, Dharma Singh Desai, he was very highly educated, very successful in business and finance. And he was a follower of the Sri Sampradaya. When Srinathji Prabhu's father was a young boy, he would study under his guru, Janaki Das. Who had him memorize Bhagavad Gita as he was doing seva, simple seva. His faith in the eternal nature of the soul, his dharmic principles were very deeply rooted in his heart. Srinathji Prabhu. His mother, Shantabain, was a follower of the Pushti Marg of Sripad Ballabhacharya. She was a devotee of Krishna. When she was pregnant with her one and only child, she was praying to Krishna that he be a great devotee. She offered her pujas, her prayers, her mantras with this desire: let my child be a great devotee, Krishna. And Narendra Desai, his name at the time, he took his birth. And he tells a story when he was about 11 years old. One of the neighbors from their home, he heard crying, wailing. And he went down and found that the father suddenly died. So much crying. When you're a young child like this, confronted with death, seeing the corpse of the man, his father told him that the soul is eternal. The soul passes to another life. This concept of death, this concept of the nature of the soul, was something that, according to Srinathji Prabhu himself, it molded his way of seeing the world. Here in Mumbai, went to various schools. Nearby to where we are is Cathedral School. And there, along with his academic studies, he was taught the basics of the Bible and Christianity. There was quite a bit of emphasis on that, to kind of orient people toward the Christian concepts. And Srinathji Prabhu appreciated very much. At the same time, his mother, Shantabain, was very much insistent that he understand his own culture and his own religion and who is Krishna, the ultimate fulfillment of all religious thought and realization. When Srinathji Prabhu was 19 years old, he went to London University. And there he was given residence in the house of a Jewish family. Srinathji Prabhu told us their name was Elsner. And they loved him like their own child because he was so enthusiastic and so respectful, so intelligent. And they shared their religion with him, their family-oriented devotion, their music. And Srinathji Prabhu was understanding these universal principles of spirituality. He was educated in Christianity and Judaism, in Vaishnavism. When he was 21 years old, he went to the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia to work on his master's and PhD. And he had such a wonderful experience under the care of this Jewish family in London that he found another Jewish person to live with in Philadelphia, a widow named Shirley Anton. There, Srinathji Prabhu studied electrical engineering and finance. But by the influence of his mother, his father, and his experiences of life, he was very, very, very interested in philosophy. June of 1964, he was awarded his doctoral or PhD. And he returned to India to assist his father in their business. Srinathji Prabhu explained that by that time, because of all of the materialistic kind of influences that were around him in the West, he became something like an agnostic. At the same time, he was very philosophical. And he heard the Advaita philosophy from one of the very primary monistic teachers of the time, Swami Chinmayananda, and how it was so scientifically explained. Srinathji Prabhu really connected to that. February 8th, 1966, Srinathji Prabhu was married to the eldest child of Aravind Mafatlal, Sushil Bain, Maithili Priya, Maithili at the time. It was quite an elaborate marriage, from what I understand. In 1967, Srinathji and Maithili had their first child, Kushal. In 1969, Vinita was born, Brinda Priya. And in 1971, when Maithili was pregnant with their third child, perhaps the most transformational event of Srinathji Prabhu's life took place. He was working with his father in their office. Approximately 11 o'clock in the morning, Srinathji Prabhu's mother, Shanta Bain, called her husband, Dharam Singh, and said, "Today at 12 o'clock, a Vaishnav saint is coming to our house for prasad. And he has followers from the USA. Come home. You must come home." So Srinathji Prabhu and his father, under the order of the mother, they came home. And it was in the courtyard. Srinathji Prabhu explains.
how they were having kirtan. And nobody had ever seen anything like this in India before. There were these white-colored people, Americans, some Europeans, wearing dhotis, kind of thick bedsheet-type dhotis, and saris, and they were dancing and singing. They had tilak and they had japamalas. They were so enthusiastic. Srinathji Prabhu was thinking, what will the neighbors think? And he looked up and he saw the neighbors were all looking out their windows and on their verandas thinking, what is happening here? So Srinathji Prabhu was standing kind of a little to the side in the back. And he remembers these original devotees that came to India with Srila Prabhupada were there in his house. Srila Prabhupada, he very lovingly, respectfully, but assertively spoke to Srinathji Prabhu's father, Dharam Singh Desai, because he was not only a very powerful industrialist, business person, but he was also very influential in the Indian Parliament in Delhi. He said, you as a parliament member, you should clarify a grave misconception. Due to the communist influence within the parliament, my disciples are being accused of being CIA agents. That means the American Secret Service. In other words, they were being accused of being spies. And because of this, there was a certain amount of persecution, and they were restricting visas. Srila Prabhupada says, look at them. They have left their wealthy homes of the West. They're coming and living in the most primitive conditions of India. They're waking up at 4 o'clock every morning. They're chanting at least 16 malas every day of the Hare Krishna mantra. They're spreading Sankirtan. They're following these four regulative principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating. Do you think any CIA agent could do that? They are coming to remind the Indians what they have forgotten, what is true Sanatan Dharma. Srila Prabhupada explained, when I came to the Western world, I had nothing. Why are they following me? Because of the great treasure, the wealth of the message of Bhagavad Gita and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have come. So you please clarify this in the Indian Parliament. He agreed to do so. His second request, you should become a life member. 1,111 rupees. And you could stay, we are in the process of developing temples all over the world with guest houses, and any place you go in the world, you will get prasad and a place where you could stay with our devotees. And we'll give you all of our literatures. There was hardly any literatures at that time. Srinathji Prabhu said his father became a life member, the 32nd life member in the history of ISKCON. Now there are hundreds and thousands of life members. He was number 32. And Srinathji Prabhu was looking from the corner of the room thinking, oh, these swamis are always asking for money. And he was very suspicious. Srila Prabhupada then pointed to one brahmachari. I think he was about 19 or 20 years old. He said, this is Jaipatak Das. And he's coming from America. He wants to be here in India. And I want him to be here. He said, I want you to give him Indian citizenship. And then Srila Prabhupada boldly, with great conviction, he said, he is an eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he will learn Bengali and spread Krishna consciousness throughout the towns, villages, and cities of Bengal. With your parliamentary influence, give him citizenship to India. Becoming a life member wasn't so difficult. But clarifying the whole Indian government to give easy visas and to eradicate the CIA charge, to give a young American brahmachari Indian citizenship. Srinathji Prabhu's father fulfilled everything Srila Prabhupada asked him to do. And Srinathji Prabhu explained how he heard during that meeting at his home, and Srinathji Prabhu's mother was in so much happiness, just giving hospitality to Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees. Prabhupada spoke that very beautiful verse, Mari Krishna Rake Ke Rake Krishna Mari Ke. That if Krishna wants to kill you, nothing could save you. And if Krishna wants to protect you, nothing can harm you. So he heard it. And just a couple weeks later, Srinathji Prabhu was on an airplane. It was a very small airplane. And suddenly, while it was in the airplane caught on fire. People were screaming. And Srinathji remembered Prabhupada's words. If Krishna wants to protect you, nothing can harm you. With all of his heart and soul, he was intensely praying to Krishna. Ordinarily, he wasn't practicing much religion, but in this circumstance, there was doesn't matter how strong you are, how educated you are, how wealthy you are, when you're high up in the sky and your airplane's on fire, only Krishna can save you. So he prayed. And for all of our benefit, Krishna protected him. So that was a very, very important influence in his life. Because in India there's so many sadhus and so many religious people who are always after people who have affluence and wealth, Srinathji Prabhu explained in his office he posted a sign that no religious people were allowed. And he had a security guard and secretaries who wouldn't allow religious people to come in and be asking for donations. His Holiness Giriraj Swami, very intelligent, very resourceful, very simple-hearted, and totally committed. He was then, along with Srila Prabhupada, trying to start something near Radharas Bihar in the Juhu area. Srila Prabhupada was would sometimes go to visit Sumati Maharaji, who actually sponsored his first passage by cargo ship to New York City. And he saw one tract of land, which was just like a swampy area, undeveloped. And Srila Prabhupada was thinking, that's where Krishna's temple should be. And the devotees, when they first came to Mumbai, they were in Chembur, and then they were close by here in South Mumbai. And they were all thinking, if we're going to start a temple, it should be in this area of South Mumbai. And Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to establish the temple in Juhu. At that time, Juhu was really far from Mumbai. It wasn't like it is today. It was like a long distance away. And there was so much opposition. They had no money. There were so many mosquitoes and so many rats and snakes. Many of the neighbors didn't like them. Many of the neighbors got the government to try to cause so many problems. Srila Prabhupada was traveling. Giriraj Maharaj was in charge. He's coming from a little suburb near Chicago, and here he is. It was very difficult. You're dealing with the highest powers of India. So he really felt that Srinathji Prabhu could help. So he went to the office of Srinathji Prabhu and sat in the chair of the security guard with a little packet of prasad. And the security guard said, "You're not allowed." The secretary said, "No, you're not allowed." So most of us would go away. He just sat in the chair, chanting japa for hour after hour after hour, just waiting. And Srinathji Prabhu was such an enthusiastic businessman that he would get there early in the morning and he would not leave until everybody was gone, and he would close the office. Secretary told Srinathji Prabhu hours before that there's a sadhu who's waiting for you. He said, I'm not meeting sadhus, I'm too busy. So in the evening, when he finally came out of his office, there's Giriraj Maharaj sitting there, chanting, smiling, stood up. Srinathji Prabhu said, "What are you doing here?" Giriraj Maharaj said, "I'm waiting for you." He said, "But I already told that I'm not meeting anyone." He said, "I just want to give you some prasad." Srinathji Prabhu so much appreciated his humility and his determination. He just saw this person has no false ego. You know, he's a sadhu. He was a brahmachari. He's in saffron. And he's sitting, waiting all day, patiently, chanting Krishna's names for me, just to give me some prasad. So Srinathji Prabhu, his heart melted. And he said, "You're waiting to give me prasad, but did you have any prasad today?" And Giriraj Maharaj said, "No." So Srinathji Prabhu said, "Come to my house, I will give you prasad." And he brought him to the house, E9 Seaface Park. And Maithili Devi arranged nice prasad. And Srinathji Prabhu would like to tell me that what Giriraj Maharaj was so simple. He especially liked rice with little salt and ghee. And he ate very nicely, and he took his bath. And in this way, Srinathji Prabhu and Giriraj Brahmachari then really developed a beautiful friendship. Srinathji Prabhu saw that this sadhu is really genuine. His respect, his humility, his determination, his intelligence. They became close friends. Soon after this, it used to be called Mufflinlal Park, I believe, and then it became Seaface Park. And there was a wonderful friend of Srila Prabhupada, Kartikeya Mahadevya, who invited Srila Prabhupada to stay in his apartment. Because Srila Prabhupada really didn't have any funds. He didn't have anything here in Mumbai. But Kartikeya Mahadevya invited Srila Prabhupada to stay with him. And Malati Devi and Yamuna Devi, they brought beautiful deities of Radha Krishna and presented them to the family and set up a beautiful altar in their house. So Srila Prabhupada lived there for several months. And it was just a few minutes away from where Srinathji Prabhu was living. So Srinathji Prabhu, it was something very, very fascinating to him. So he would go over and meet Srila Prabhupada regularly. And at the time, Srinathji Prabhu was a very strong and very well-known adherent of the Mayavad Advaita philosophy. Very skeptical about the Hare Krishna movement. But when he would come to see Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was so respectful, so kind. He would ask him, how is your mother and how is your father? They have helped me in so many ways. How is your family? All the philosophical differences, and there were blaring differences, Srila Prabhupada just put them aside and just showed kindness to Srinathji Prabhu. And gradually, Srinathji Prabhu developed such an attachment to the association of Srila Prabhupada. And of course, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was always eager to bring Srila Prabhupada closer. I mean, Srinathji Prabhu closer to Srila Prabhupada. And after some time, he had to resolve the differences of the Vaishnava philosophy and the impersonal philosophy. So those of you who knew Srinathji Prabhu, you know how forceful he could be. Systematically, he began to present the Mayavad arguments to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada would defeat them. Then Srinathji Prabhu would go to his other teacher and present Srila Prabhupada's arguments. And his other teacher would give his arguments. Srinathji Prabhu would come back to Srila Prabhupada and present those arguments, and he was going back and forth trying to understand. And this was going on even when Srila Prabhupada was staying at Juhu. He would come there and they had a wonderful loving relationship. But they would debate philosophy. Srinathji Prabhu was thinking, if I could get both the gurus in the same room, Then I could see which one wins, and then I'll know who my guru is. So he presented this idea to Srila Prabhupada. He said, yes, bring him. And then he went to the other teacher, and he said, you know, I don't have time for all this. So he wouldn't come. So little by little, Srinathji Prabhu was convinced. He was becoming more and more and more convinced. And one day, I'm not sure exactly the sequence chronologically, but Srinathji Prabhu was studying Srila Prabhupada's books very carefully. In his heart, he had accepted Prabhupada as his guru. And he saw the great prominence of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in our society. He wanted to understand from which scripture, Shruti, is this coming. And Srila Prabhupada quotes from the Kali Santarana Upanishad. So Srinathji Prabhu wanted a original Sanskrit copy of the Kali Santarana Upanishad. But it's quite rare. There was no translations of it that were known to him. So he was doing research. Where is the Kali Santarana Upanishad? And somehow or other, there was a pundit, Pradyumna Shastri, from Baroda University, who said there is a single original Sanskrit copy of the Kali Santarana Upanishad in the library in a very, very not a public part, but a very private part of their library. And somehow or other, Srinathji Prabhu got it photocopied because you weren't allowed to take it out. And the pundit at your home, Keshav, was it Keshav Shastri? Srinathji Prabhu had a special pundit at his home, and he had him translate it from the Sanskrit to the Gujarati. Then Srinathji Prabhu translated it from Gujarati to English. And he brought it to His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. Then he was still a brahmachari, and he was so enlivened, so happy. The Kali Santarana Upanishad, we actually have it now. Srinathji Prabhu was very eager to publish it. So his heart was transformed. I believe it was in September of 1977. Early in the morning, like around 4 o'clock, His Holiness Giriraj Swami from Juhu, he called Srinathji Prabhu, who was living at Seaface Park here in South Mumbai, and said that Srila Prabhupada was leaving his body. Srinathji Prabhu said he didn't understand so much. What is this leaving body? As devotees, you know, we take things for granted the way we talk. Srila Prabhupada wants to end his life in Vrindavan. He wants to get a train. But Srila Prabhupada's very ill. He cannot really sit up. Giriraj Maharaj said, you have those big American cars. Can you bring one of your cars here? We have to get Srila Prabhupada to the railway station.
Srinathji Prabhu told his good wife, Maitali Devi, and she put very nice clean cloth in the back seat, flowers and incense. And Srinathji Prabhu, he was a race car driver before he was a devotee. So he drove very fast all the way to Juhu. And with Srila Prabhupada was Tamal Krishna Goswami and Brahmananda Swami, and Upendra Prabhu was at that time Prabhupada's personal assistant, and Giriraj Swami. And they carried Srila Prabhupada down. And when Srinathji Prabhu saw Srila Prabhupada in this condition, he was so thin, so fragile. They laid Srila Prabhupada's body in the back seat of a big American car called a Dodge. And Srinathji Prabhu was at the wheel driving. They said they had to get him to Bombay Central Railway Station. The train was supposed to leave at 11 o'clock in the morning. And they didn't have much time. So he was driving naturally fast. Tamal Krishna Goswami told Srinathji Prabhu, slow down. Srila Prabhupada's body is very fragile. It hurts him too much when there's bumps, so go very slow. So he started going slow, which was an austerity for Srinathji. And Srila Prabhupada told Upendra, faster, faster. Upendra said, Prabhupada wants you to go faster. And he started going faster. Tamal Krishna Goswami said, I told you, I am in charge here. I told you, you slow down. So it slowed down. Upendra would say from the back seat, he was back there with him. It was just one seat in the front. It was Brahmananda Swami, Tamal Krishna Goswami, Giriraj Swami, and Srinathji Prabhu all in the front seat. It's a big car, so the back is kind of far back. So he started going fast, and Tamal Krishna Goswami shouted, I told you, you go slow. Srinathji Prabhu said, Prabhupada's telling me to go fast and you're telling me to go slow. What am I supposed to do? Tamal Krishna Goswami said, you go slow. And Prabhupada threw Upendra. He said, go faster. So Srinathji kind of tried to balance the two and he went a little faster. And they got to the railway station at about 10:30. And when they got there, they were told that the train is leaving at 10:30. It's leaving early. So somehow, you know, they got Srinathji Prabhu arranged a wheelchair and they brought Prabhupada. He brought Prabhupada on the car and the train was just about to leave and everyone was gathered in their little compartment with Srila Prabhupada. And Srinathji, he had to leave the train and he just got something to drink, some water, and when he was just about to drink his water, Upendra came out, ran out and said, Srila Prabhupada wants to see you. Srila Prabhupada wanted to thank him. Srinathji Prabhu ran back in the train and Prabhupada very graciously thanked him. At that time, Srinathji Prabhu understood this might be the last time I ever see Srila Prabhupada. His heart melted. Srinathji Prabhu placed his head on Srila Prabhupada's feet. It was weeping tears. And in his heart, he surrendered his life to Srila Prabhupada at that moment. Srila Prabhupada understood, very graciously stroked his head, with his lotus hand, Srila Prabhupada rubbed Sri Nachi Prabhu's head to accept his surrender and his life. Just at that sacred moment, the train started moving. And Giriraj Maharaj and the others said, "You have to get off, you have to get off." So he jumped off the train and stood on the railway track on the platform, watching the train moving out of Bombay Central Station toward Mathura, weeping in gratitude. He had surrendered his heart, his life, his soul to Srila Prabhupada. In November, Srila Prabhupada departed from this world. And Srila Prabhupada taught us that he's forever present wherever in his instructions and in the hearts of all those who follow his instructions. It was one of Srila Prabhupada's most cherished goals to install Radharas Bihari in their new temple. With the help of Srinathji Prabhu, Giriraj Swami, Sridhar Swami, Gopal Krishna Goswami, Tamal Krishna Goswami, all these devotees, you know, they developed the most courageous project in the history of ISKCON at the time. When Srila Prabhupada first brought Radharas Bihari to the land at Juhu, it was very swampy. There was no residences for any of the devotees. They had to make little huts. And the deities themselves were just living in a little thatched shack. And Srila Prabhupada promised them that we're going to build this temple for you. So many difficulties happened, even during Srila Prabhupada's life. They tried to kick the deities off the land, all the devotees off the land, the sheriff of Mumbai, editors of major newspapers, the municipal corporation, everyone was against the devotees trying to kick them off. Srinathji Prabhu was always right there trying to help in every way he could. Mr. Sethi, Bal Thackeray, so many people were trying, a few people were really trying to help Srila Prabhupada, but they were against all odds. And eventually, the municipal corporation actually came to destroy whatever little was built for the deities. Srila Prabhupada just wouldn't give up. In due course of time, Sorabi Maharaj, who was the architect, they built the most beautiful temple in the history of ISKCON up until that time. Beautiful marble temple. I remember in 1977, Srila Prabhupada was in his leela of leaving this world physically. And devotees were trying to convince Prabhupada to stay. His very senior most disciples. And I heard a tape. And in this tape, Brahmananda Maharaj, who really knew Srila Prabhupada's heart, he was saying to Srila Prabhupada, you have to stay, because Radharas Bihari has not yet been installed in their temple in Bombay. Because more than any other project in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada fought and put his time and energy into this. In 1978, just a couple months after Prabhupada's departure, they were having the grand opening, the inauguration of Radharas Bihari's temple and their installation. It was going to be one of the most important functions in ISKCON's history. Giriraj Maharaj was the president. He and the other leaders, they didn't really know how to do it. So they called on Srinathji Prabhu to be the leader of this installation, temple grand opening. And they asked him to be the master of ceremonies. And he did that. He arranged for some of the most prominent people of Mumbai to come. He was one of the leading organizers of the whole event and the master of ceremonies. They had their Govinda's restaurant. Please read Giriraj Maharaj's book. It should be coming out really soon. It goes into great, exciting details of these pastimes. But somehow or other, some of the people who were connected to the restaurant, who were running it, decided to take over it. They went on some sort of... They locked all the doors. And it was an impossible situation. They basically took over. They took a prominent piece of our property right in the temple, away from Prabhupada's movement. The devotees didn't know what to do. So Giriraj Swami called Srinathji Prabhu. It was an impossible situation. They had all political strength. They had possession of the physical property. They had all sorts of gundas and dacoits protecting them. And here's just a few people from the West, you know, trying to serve their guru. What are they going to do? There's only one thing you can do. Call Srinathji Prabhu. Srinathji Prabhu said, no problem. And how he got that premise back was really fearless. It's not that he just got some court order or something. He personally went right in there and cleared them all out and took possession. We've seen him kind of in that mood here too, when he wanted to get possession of some place. He was, it was like a conqueror for Krishna. And how the devotees were so totally indebted. Whenever there was the greatest problems, Srinathji Prabhu would come and he would help. It was around that time that Srinathji Prabhu, he preached to Krishna Chandra Prabhu and Radha Priya Devi and their family, brought them to the path of Krishna consciousness. There was a big legal case at Juhu around that time, and Srinathji Prabhu helped to get Mahaprabhu Prabhu to be a lawyer for defending us. Sri Nathji Prabhu also helped to convince Mahaprabhu, who convinced Sahadev Prabhu and Rohini Nandan Prabhu and Raghunath Prabhu and Satchidananda Prabhu, convinced so many people. So much of the strength and the power of our movement was coming through Sri Nathji Prabhu's preaching, because he had so much conviction and so much devotion. Srila Prabhupada had established book distribution in various parts of the world, but there wasn't much in India. And along with people like Gopal Krishna Maharaj and Sridhar Maharaj and His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, Sri Nathji Prabhu, in the service of Srila Prabhupada, he not only bought, but as Giriraj Maharaj was describing in his talk this morning, he actually created beautiful custom-designed buses for preaching and book distribution. And this was a whole other realm of preaching and outreach for Krishna consciousness in India. My own first meeting with Sri Nathji Prabhu was in 1979. At that time, I was traveling around mostly Ohio and Pennsylvania and West Virginia, going to college towns and giving talks and having kirtans. I was a brahmachari, and Kirtanananda Swami was introduced to Sri Nathji Prabhu by His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. And Kirtanananda Swami was coming to India, and he had a personal assistant. And somehow or his assistant, something happened, he got sick or something, and he couldn't come. And I got a call. I was somewhere in Columbus, Ohio, I think, that, you know, everybody else is really busy here. We need somebody to go with him to India. I think he had a broken leg or something, I don't remember. But I said, well, I'm busy too. They said, well, you know, everybody else is busy building New Vrindavan, so you should come and do. So I said, I don't have any money. So somehow or other people gave me a ticket and I came, and we arrived early in the morning in Mumbai, and Kirtananda Swami got to Juhua, went to sleep, and Sri Nathji Prabhu and a couple other devotees asked me to lead Mangala Arati and give Srimad Bhagavatam class. And it was at that time that Sri Nathji Prabhu and I, because there were some challenges, all of the baggage of Kirtananda Swami was lost, and Sri Nathji Prabhu and I had to try to somehow or other find it. And in that, you know, trying to deal with those situations, we became very, very close friends. And not long after that, Sri Nathji Prabhu was coming to visit New Vrindavan. And I didn't live at New Vrindavan. I was on the road, mostly in Ohio. And I heard he was coming. So I had a little station wagon that someone gave me to travel with. Just a little car. And I went to somebody's house that I knew. And I cooked khichuris and samosas. And picked up Sri Nathji Prabhu at the airport. And as he was eating khichuris and samosas, we talked about Krishna all the way to New Vrindavan. And then that night, we shared the same little room.
This is such a special thing. He was telling me pastimes of Krishna, and I was telling him pastimes of Krishna. We started about 9 at night. I remember especially we spent hours talking about Krishna and Kaliya. And Srinathji Prabhu really liked that story. We spoke, we were just exchanging stories of Krishna from 9 at night until the conch shell blow for Mangal Arati. So that's kind of how I personally had the good fortune of Srinathji Prabhu's association. Then many inconceivable things happened. In the meanwhile, Maithili Devi and Srinathji Prabhu, they would give prasad, milk, clothing, books to the orphans who were living here at the Lady Northcote Hindu Orphanage. During that time, because they really cared about these children, they were kind of the only people in the world who really cared about them, from what I understand. And when the managing trustee of the orphanage, when he was becoming ill, Srinathji Prabhu was preaching to him. As you could see, he might die. He was preaching to him about Krishna, about Bhagavad Gita, in a very convincing way. The man left his body. And to Srinathji Prabhu's great surprise, in his will, he made Srinathji Prabhu the managing trustee for the Lady Northcote Hindu Orphanage. And it was just about that time that just a few devotees were kind of like orphans themselves due to circumstances. So what better place for orphans than an orphanage? So somehow or other, Srinathji Prabhu tried to acquire one half of a room in the back ground floor of this building. The room that we're sitting now was about 4 classes of Tinkerbell High School. That side where the ladies are sitting was Bola's classes, a tutorial school. This side where some of the men are sitting was my own coaching classes, which was also a tutorial school. The entire ground floor was Tinkerbell High School, and there was also a pharmacy. And this little building over here was Camel Brand Stocking Manufacturing Company. And the children of the orphanage were sent to some other suburb of Mumbai. And they were under the care of a very, very established educational institution here in Mumbai. But somehow or other, Srinathji Prabhu, he was now the managing trustee, he found that something very controversial and dangerous to the children were happening. So he seized the whole orphanage and brought them back here to Chopati. And they were staying in a little section next to that back courtyard. Now it's a prasadam room. It used to be an open area. And the brahmacharis were in a half of a little room.
And that's how somehow or other we began our temple here. In that tiny little room, we got little deities about 6 inches high. And there were so many rats. And somehow or other, the original brahmacharis that were here, they weren't brahmacharis as we know them. They had a lot of problems. And there was a severe conflict among the brahmacharis themselves. There was about 5 of them. And there was a total rejection of the congregation. It was just a small congregation. And because I was very respectful to the congregation, I was rejected by the brahmacharis. So Srinathya Prabhu invited me to come and live in his apartment in Sea Face Park. For several months, I just lived there. And the whole congregation at the time came to his house for Mangal Arati, Tulsi worship, Guru Puja, and Srimad Bhagavatam class every day. 7 days a week. He had these deities of Radha Govinda Dev. I think, were those deities given as a wedding gift to you when you were married? And somehow or other, Maithili Devi was always worshipping them, and they became the deities for... There was no Radha Gopinath temple then. It was Radha Govinda temple. How many of you people here that are assembled today would come to Srinathji and Maithili's morning program every day at Sea Face Park? Please raise your hands. You don't see too many hands, but that was our entire congregation. Maybe about 12 to 20 people every morning would come. 4:30 every morning, full Mangal Arati, Tulsi worship. We'd all chant japa together. Then there'd be a Guru Puja for Prabhupada. Then there'd be a Srimad Bhagavatam class. And then Srinathji Prabhu and Maithili Devi would have prasad for everyone. It was our temple. How many people are willing to do that? Just open their house to be a temple 7 days a week for anyone or everyone that would come. It wasn't like, you know, private invitations. Anybody that would come. That was our temple. And that's actually where the congregation began for Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. It was born out of conflict. We really found shelter there. And I remember sometimes on special Ekadasis, the whole congregation would stay up all night long having kirtan from sunset until after the sunrise. And I remember whenever little babies were born, they'd bring them to Srinathji's house to get names and blessings. One of my dear worshipable god sisters, Ladini Devi, she once came because she wanted to go on yatra to Vrindavan because she had never been to Vrindavan. And she was a pujari who was so expert at speaking Krishna consciousness to individuals, but she had never given a public class to more than a few people in her whole life. So she was staying there at Srinathji Prabhu and Maithili Devi's house. She had a room,
And I asked her, would you give class today? And she was adamant, no. I never heard her say no to anything. She was totally surrendered. Anything you asked her to do, even if it was impossible, she would just do it. No matter how busy she was, she always made time. She was a completely surrendered person. But when I asked her to give class, she said, no, I will not give class. I've never given a public class in my life. I have no interest. I don't know how to do it. And these are all cultured people, educated people. She said, I'm just like an aborigine. I don't know how to give class to these people. So I made a plan with Srinathji Prabhu. I said, Srinathji Prabhu, I'm going to sing Jai Radha Madhava. I'm going to chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'm going to read the Sanskrit and the word-for-word translations and the translation and the purport. And then as soon as I finish that, because Ladini Devi is going to be sitting right in front like she always is, I'm going to escape. And you put the book in front of Ladini and get everybody to turn around to face her. So it went just like that. After I finished reading the purport, I just, without saying a single word, I just stood up and walked across the room. Srinathji Prabhu's house, his living room, that was where the class was. And I went out the door and down the stairs and hid. And immediately Srinathji Prabhu put the book in front of Ladini and turned about 20 devotees all looking at her. And she said, I'm not giving class. And they said, you are giving class. And about an hour later, I came back, you know, from outside. I quietly went up the stairs and I quietly opened the door. And she was preaching so strongly. It was incredible. She gave about a two-hour class. And after that, she continued giving classes for the rest of her life. She was meeting heads of states. She was on television shows in Africa. She was on radio shows. She was magazine editors, magazine feature articles. That all happened in that little living room of Srinathji Prabhu, that little temple room. Little by little, by Krishna's grace, the Brahmachari ashram transformed. Certain people left, and we moved back down there. And Srinathji Prabhu, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, Sahadev Prabhu, all their families, we, you know, started serving together with the Brahmacharis. And that was how Radha Gopinath Temple were established. The doctors of Bhaktivedan Hospital, Dwarkadish Prabhu and Vishakha Devi, Madhavananda Prabhu and Vrindavan Rani and Vaishnav Seva Prabhu and Kalindi and Sridhama and Kishori and Giriraj Prabhu and Shamarani Devi, and they were all coming more and more. So everything was becoming auspicious. Meanwhile, on this floor, we were living downstairs. Gradually, more people were coming. So we needed more space. So before Tinkerbell High School would begin their first classes at around 7:30 in the morning, we would get up at 4 and have our whole morning program here while there was a yoga studio doing yoga asanas on the other side of this room. And we would have to leave before the classes started for Tinkerbell High School. And gradually, Srinathji Prabhu, we approached him and said, you know, it would be really nice if we had this space for ourselves. Who else could do this? Somehow or other, Srinathji Prabhu convinced the people of Tinkerbell High School that you're downstairs and you're upstairs. We'll build a loft downstairs and you bring all your classes from upstairs to the loft downstairs. Who would do that? I don't even know how he did it. Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, you probably know the details. But somehow or other, after a few years, he got them to move downstairs. And then we had this whole hall ourselves. And he got the yoga studio to relocate to another area. And I was in America once. And somehow or other, Srinathji Prabhu and Mahaprabhu had this plan for Janmashtami. They wanted deities. And I remember I came back after being in America for about a month, and I came back, and this was just a totally dilapidated room that we're sitting in. It was just trashed out. There was no maintenance in it for decades. And deities were here. And we gradually had installation. And devotees were happy. But there were so many court cases. I think there were 22 court cases. Srinathji Prabhu and Mahaprabhu Prabhu, they were like a team to defend Radha Gopinath and their devotees in the courts. And Srinathji Prabhu would love court cases. Whenever there was some court case, he would get so enlivened. I would get distressed because I'm not a fighter like that. I'm just like Chan Hare Krishna. Another court case, and they were threatening to close us down and shut down the kirtans and everything, and Srinathji Prabhu would say, I pray for the opportunity to fight for Krishna. And between Mahaprabhu and Srinathji Prabhu, 22 court cases, they were victorious. Otherwise, we could not have existed in this building. And Srinathji Prabhu loved the yatras. Vishakha Mataji, how many people were on our first yatra to Vrindavan? How much?
22.
She knows. She's the authority on all these historical events of Radha Gopinath. So our first yatra was in Vrindavan. We had 22 devotees. And Srinathji Prabhu, he was so enthusiastic. I'll never forget. He loves Vrindavan. He just loved Vrindavan. And he loved Brijvasis. Here he is, multimillionaire, industrialist. As far as his business, when he graduated from college and came to India, he wanted to develop an oil refinery, and he convinced major international oil companies to invest with him, and he convinced General Electric to make wires and tube bulbs with him. And amazing. He was groundbreaking historical alliances he was making with foreign companies and building his corporations. And yet, he just loved to be on pilgrimages with devotees, riding on the trains with the devotees. He'd love to go to the simple little huts of the Brijabasis and honor them and worship them and eat their rotis, talk with them, whatever language they spoke, he always knew those languages. He came to Vrindavan with us. And he never exerted himself as a senior during those yatras. He just performed all the simple austerities as everyone else, Krishna Chandra Prabhu and his family, same. Mahaprabhu and his family, same. Sahadev Prabhu, all these very senior people, elderly people, but still accomplished. It's the simplest conditions, and the simplest rooms, riding on simple third-class or second-class trains. Rohini Nandan Prabhu would always sing such beautiful kirtans. In this way, Sri Natsi Prabhu came to Mayapur, helped to organize a yatra to Badrinath, Gangotri, Yamunotri. We went to Chitrakoot, to Dwarka, to Ayodhya, Naimasharanya, to Jagannath Puri, South India. Every year, he would always be there enthusiastically, just among the devotees, relishing Krishna consciousness in these holy places. In his house in Seaface Park, on the rooftop terrace, and in the room itself, he would love, along with his family, to host all the devotees to come. Here in Radha Gopinath Temple, he would dance with, he loved kirtan. Just loved to participate in kirtan, to chant, to dance. So eager for Hari Katha, Krishna, to hear Krishna's teachings and pastimes. And this is something that was always increasing. When Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple was established in around 1986, up until last year, just in the back, there was a special chair that Sri Natsi Prabhu would come and sit on for the Saturday and Sunday Srimad Bhagavatam classes. And he will always be here. No pretense. Just sit with all the devotees and relish hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And whoever was speaking, even people who were younger than his children, he would enthusiastically hear every word they would say in Krishna Katha. And Sri Natsi Prabhu had a special relationship with the brahmacharis. He was a friend. He loved sadhus. He loved serving sadhus. This combination, Sri Natsi Prabhu and his family, Krishna Chandra Prabhu and his family, Mahaprabhu and his family, others, Rohini Nandan Prabhu, incredible. Sri Natsi Prabhu's such an aristocratic family, so much power, so much wealth, so much education. And yet his greatest joy in life was hearing about Krishna, chanting and dancing for Krishna.
He loved to worship deities of Krishna. And he loved just to be a friend and a god brother to the devotees. If anyone was sick, if anyone was having legal difficulties, he was always there to help. Mostly just a friend. Such faith. He loved Dr. Alwa. Dr. Alwa, he would arrange Dr. Alwa to have pujas and various darshans and Tirupati and Udupi and Kanchipuram and all these places. Sridhar Maharaj, when Sridhar Maharaj was to establish, was it called VAST? What does that stand for? Sridhar Maharaj called on Srinathji Prabhu, along with Prabhu, to help him start this wonderful project, VAST, which is for cultivating people to be friends and supporters of Srila Prabhupada's mission. Srinathji Prabhu was so excited, enthusiastic, determined to participate, to serve Sridhar Maharaj. That was his life, to serve devotees. And it's so beautiful to see how Srinathji Prabhu's, well, I'd like to share a couple things. Another great challenge and crisis took place around 1993. It was around that time that Srinathji Prabhu had a heart attack. I believe he was in Taiwan. And he needed an open heart bypass surgery. He decided to have that surgery in America at the Cleveland Clinic. And that was the time when I was traveling around a lot. And of course we were based here in Mumbai. I was actually at that time I was more or less just staying here in Mumbai. And I went to the Cleveland Clinic the day before his surgery. And Srinathji Prabhu's mother was there, Shanta Bain. Because Srinathji Prabhu was her only child. Srinathji Prabhu's exalted father had passed away suddenly some years before. So the vast responsibility of their whole family, as well as all their industries and businesses, fell on Srinathji Prabhu. So for his mother, this was a very emotional experience. Her only son, whose children were yet still quite young, was about to go in for open heart bypass surgery. And in 1993, the surgeries weren't as developed as they are now. So she was there for her son. I came to the room that they were staying in the hospital. And I remember right, the surgery was scheduled for Friday the 13th. And the doctor said to Srinathji Prabhu, that this is a day that I'm open, but nobody wants to have surgeries on Friday the 13th. Because in the West, it's considered like the unluckiest day. And Srinathji Prabhu said it's Trayodasi. Nityananda Prabhu was born on the 13th. So it's auspicious. And then he had an astrologer say it's good day. So, you know, he was just chanting japa and praying, and then, you know, they took him out of the room we were in. His mother and myself and Srinathji, they took him down for the surgery. And his mother was sitting very, very deeply grave, emotional, praying. And I, as soon as he left our room, I started chanting japa in a very prayerful mood for Srinathji Prabhu. And hours passed. And I'll never forget, I just completed chanting the Maha Mantra on the final bead of my 64th round since he left. And at that moment, right after I said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, bling, 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 the telephone rang. And his mother answered the phone, and the doctor said, the surgery has just been completed and is successful. And then there was a crisis at the community close by, and Srinathji Prabhu heard about it. And even though he had just come out of open heart bypass surgery, he went there to try to help the devotees. And Maithili Devi will remember you were back on your way to India, and you were in a hotel in London near the airport. And at that time, it was such a difficult situation. The whole, and Srinathji Prabhu, he said, you must come back to Mumbai. And I said, if everyone wants me to come back, I will come back. But that's for everyone to decide. And Srinathji Prabhu, he handed me an Air France ticket to Mumbai. He said, you keep this and I will arrange everything. And somehow or other, Srinathji Prabhu and Maithili Devi, Krishna Chandra Mahaprabhu again, you know, they helped to resolve one of the biggest crises that happened in the history of our temple and so many of our devotees' lives. That time. Every molecular particle of any of our projects, Srinathji Prabhu, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, these devotees, their influence is there. Helping to develop midday meals, helping to develop Gopal's garden, helping to develop Bhaktivedan Hospital. And especially Srinathji Prabhu was enthusiastic about Govardhan Eco Village. He was so enthusiastic. He had a wonderful house in Karla, and he decided, to take all those resources and send them to Govardhan Eco Village. And between him and Maithili Devi, it was really like his passion, his project. He wanted to establish, he said he would establish a university for Vaishnav teachings in Thane. He said, I want to arrange land from the mountain to the river at Govardhan Eco Village. He arranged the landscapers because we didn't have so much of anything. We wanted to landscape the Vrindavan forest, and he went to one of the topmost landscape designers in India. This is the story I was told. I'm not sure if I'm correct, but this is what I was told. And he went to this person, and he said, you know, we want you to design this for free. The man's making the gardens for all the biggest Bollywood stars and politicians and the biggest multi-billionaire industrialists. And here comes Srinathji saying, we want you to do, and this is like 20 acres of land for Krishna. He said, I can't do anything unless I put my heart and soul into it, because my reputation is based on the quality of everything I do. So I have all these other projects. There's a whole waiting list of things that I'm asked to do from some of the most prominent people of India. I don't have time. And Srinathji Prabhu, he said to him, all these people, they're just going to invite a few of their friends to simply enjoy sense gratification. He said, you are a Hindu. There are going to be thousands of people from all over the world to feel the experience of Vrindavan. You will establish Sanatan Dharma and Krishna Bhakti. Srinathji Prabhu wouldn't take no for an answer. He said, this is something you could do to change the world with your life. Not just make a nice garden for wealthy people to show their guests. So the man said, you are like my father. Whatever you tell me, I have to do. That's how all that beautiful landscaping is there for Govardhan Eco Village. And along with Maithili Devi, they were planning all these, this Prayag project, all these educational programs, and environmental programs, and sent all these hundreds of solar panels. He was so enthusiastic. But he was enthusiastic about everything he did for Krishna. And that same enthusiasm, that same devotional spirit, Srinathji Prabhu and Maithili Devi has infused within their children and grandchildren. Keshava Prabhu, Chaitanya Prabhu, Vrindapriya Devi, their wives, their husbands, Janisha, Namamrita, Radhagiri Dari, and their children. During the memorial service earlier, or actually it was last year for Srinathji Prabhu, we heard his grandchildren speak. With so much love, so much gratitude. He was just such a loving grandfather, a friend, just in every way, with all simplicity, perfectly attuned to the hearts and the minds of his little grandchildren. Keshav Prabhu was explaining how the whole time he grew up in his life, every single morning during Brahma Muhurta, Srinathji Prabhu would have Srila Prabhupada lectures playing on a tape recorder. While he was bathing, while he was shaving, while he was dressing, whatever he did in the morning, that was just a part of their house. It was the culture of their home. First thing in the morning was absorption in hearing Srila Prabhupada speaking and chanting. And this wonderful family, three generations. So much respect, so much culture, so much devotion. And in many ways, we are all the children of Srinathji Prabhu and Maithili Devi. Because they have provided the very basis of our whole community. Srinathji Prabhu would come to me often with tears in his eyes, expressing how beautiful Radha Gopinath are today. With tears in his eyes, expressing how wonderful one brahmachari's class was. One little girl's kirtan was in the temple. So full of appreciation. And last year, 1 year from yesterday, Srila Prabhupada and Krishna took him from our vision in this world. It was something that happened. All I could think of is our Srinathji on the altar. He's like this. It's like Srinathji just like took Srinathji Das and went like this and sent him back to the spiritual world. But through his incredible accomplishments, his enthusiasm, his courage, his compassion, he's an inseparable part of our hearts and our lives. Thank you very much. Is there any schedule today? Would anyone like to speak something? Yadubar Prabhu, would you like to speak something? Please sit. You can sit here.